It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's our goal.
Hey!
It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's also a show.
Hey!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. I am Tom Papa. Thank you for joining us at the table once again. We have a great show for you today. Very excited to introduce you or bring you Chad and JT. Chad Kroeger and JT Parr, very funny human beings, good people. They have a new show streaming on Netflix now called Chad and JT Go Deep. It is hilarious. They're also their podcast, Going Deep with Chad and JT. Two very funny human beings, and I got a chance to spend a lot of time with them today. We also did my radio show earlier. And there's nothing better when you see people's work before you even know them, and it makes you laugh, and then you think, oh, this would be a cool hang. I just have an instinct that I would like these people, and then it comes true. These guys are great. They're hilarious. The show was really funny, and we have a great conversation, and there was a lot of pressure on it because, you know, they're cool Southern California bros, and that's what I've been trying to do ever since I left New Jersey. So I'm going to try and earn it today and see if I'm if I've achieved it, if I am indeed accepted. We have an amazing tour going on right now. Go to tompapa.com. We've got lots of shows coming up in California. We've got shows coming up in Hawaii. A whole bunch of stuff, and all culminating on October 1st at the Wilbur Theater, where I'm recording my next Netflix special. That's on October 1st. We've got shows. We've got an early show is sold out for the taping. The next one, there's still a little available. I hope by the time this airs that I haven't led you astray, but they're going fast. So, but anyway, all going up to that, and then the tour keeps rolling from there at the Count Basie Theater in New Jersey and a bunch of other spots. A whole Texas run, finally doing Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston all in 1 week. It's a lot of great shows, and we've been rolling and doing a lot of great shows through the summer, getting ready for the special, and we're going to continue doing that. So go to tompapa.com. I want to jump right into it because it's a pretty healthy interview. Just give you an update. I'm up to 18 hot dogs on the hot dog eating contest that I'm going against pretty much no one but myself. We've got 2 weeks technically of the summer left. We've got only 2 weeks, which leads us to Labor Day, the unofficial. Of course, I think September still counts, but let's go by the school schedule and the unofficial. So I've got, if I'm gonna hit 20, I think I'll definitely hit 20. But man, eating hot dogs is pretty impactful. One cool thing that I'll say really quickly, I made a Pomodoro yesterday, which is a pure tomato sauce, which I just saw an article in the Times, and of course New Jersey is popping off with their legendary tomatoes. This is the, you know, mid end of August. There's nothing better than those tomatoes. I was getting very jealous. And to make a pomodoro is just olive oil and garlic, and then you cook down the tomatoes and then strain them. And the sauce that you have left, you know, salt and pepper, of course, is a pomodoro sauce. Put it in with spaghetti, and ooh, so good. I did not have them because I live out here in California. We're not getting those Jersey tomatoes. They don't head this way. We have all of those perfect-looking beefsteak tomatoes that just don't have any flavor at all. They look amazing in the supermarket, even in good places, but there's something special about those Jersey ones, which I'm not going to get. So I got heirloom tomatoes, which are the closest kind of raw organic thing that I could get. And I know that they're going to be filled with flavor, and I did it. The flavor was nice. It was good. It was elegant, but it wasn't, didn't have that red pop because, you know, they're kind of yellow and a little kind of dark red and dark, almost green. So I only bring this up to say, if you are back east, do it. It's so easy. It's simple. A nice way to, it takes 40 minutes in total to make this simple dish. And let me know how it goes, because I will definitely be envious. Oh. And my nephew Henry, who's the farmer at my sister's farm, a nonprofit for City Green, he's got barrels of them, and he's just giving them out to everyone in the family, and it's making me think maybe I live in the wrong place. All right. Enough of that. Let's get into it now. You're going to enjoy this conversation. Two very funny human beings, Chad and JT. You guys know Aaron.
Really well. Yeah, that's our boy.
Yeah. Do you like having him on? Like when he's in doing your podcast and hanging with you guys, do you get the feeling he would rather be with me?
Yeah. I get a little jealous.
Does he ever say it in the middle of your pod?
He'll say your name. Or like sometimes like we'll try to riff a bit and it'll kind of sink and then he'll just say, Papa would have done it better. But it's nice. It motivates me.
I remember we came in when he came to the recording one time and he's like, no bread? No. Nah.
Yeah.
Give him some water.
I feed him well. I have to apologize at the start because I just got off the road. I just came home last night and I didn't have time to bake you bread.
How many episodes have you done?
How many, Aaron? Like 120?
How many times have you not had bread for the guests?
4.
Well, you must know that I don't eat carbs.
Yeah, that was it. But
that's like 2%.
We do get you donuts.
Oh, dude, I do eat carbs.
I love donuts.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Dude, nice.
Yeah, I got you donuts. And it actually, as I was doing it, it's kind of, is there tape over there?
Yes, there is.
So nervous.
It felt like donuts was more fun anyway.
Beautiful. Oh, these look so good.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And let me say, I also believe that we're going to be fast friends because full disclosure, we hung out and met for the first time this morning.
Yeah.
On my Netflix show. And I'm like, oh, we're going to totally be bros. So I'll get you bread.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. You will get bread. And I could also send it with Aaron. Or I could come on your podcast. We'll figure it out.
That'd be awesome.
And but I will definitely get you bread.
Yeah, thank you for the donuts.
Do people eat during the podcast?
Yeah, the audience hates it. But
you
only if it's real. Yeah. I don't know why it makes people's. I don't think it makes everybody angry, but the people who do get angry about it get really angry.
I ate sweet potato one time on Mike. We were on Zoom. Yeah. And I didn't even realize.
Uh huh.
It was peak pandemic, so I was just like, fuck this, just eating sweet potato. Dude, the amount of hate I got for like 3 months was just like, yeah, just like the time you ate sweet potato into the mic. I was like,
why are they? I don't understand the anger. I loved hearing people chew.
I love
too.
It.
Yeah.
It's
such a gift.
Does it give you the tingles?
It doesn't give me the tingles. Well, I don't know. I haven't put it to the test. But I do love when people, you know, because I cook and bake a lot, so I don't know. Chewing doesn't really bother me.
Is that like your version of therapy is like cooking and baking and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, it kind of didn't start out that way, but I quickly found that I cling to it that way. Like when I do get off the road and can, I was away for like 3 straight weeks, like with my family back east and doing all this stuff and wasn't at the house at all. And when I came back and started doing it, I was like, it was a stressful trip, a lot of family, a lot of stuff. As soon as I started baking bread, I was like, I was just so like content. So yeah, it's become my therapy for sure.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. What's your therapy?
My therapy? Surfing. I like to perineum sun.
Yeah, you guys are good at that.
Yeah.
Does it work? Have you felt a change?
Yeah, I'm a much happier person.
You are?
Yeah. The more tan my butthole, the better I live.
Yeah, now you have to, and I'm watching your show, Chad and JT, or is it the other way around?
It's JT.
But Chad goes first.
Mm-hmm.
Go deep. Great show.
Thank you.
So good.
You liked it?
I really did like
good.
It.
Oh,
and I'm only 2 in. And I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, man.
My wife doesn't like it. But she was distracted. She was doing mom stuff.
I think once we get more into the narrative, I think she'd get hooked in because it goes deep into the weeds of our relationship.
Right.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I think she'll like it because you're always trying to do good.
Mm-hmm.
You're always really trying to help people and make them enjoy their life. And I think she'll be on board.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when I'll watch TV with my parents and I'll be like, you got to watch this. You got to watch Ozarks. And they talk for the first 10 minutes of it. And then they'd be like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, well, you talk the whole time.
Yeah.
My wife did that to your show last night.
Nice.
So, yeah. But when you were, and what is it called again? Perineum. Perineum.
Mm-hmm.
And perineum sunning?
Yeah.
Where you, you got to get sun on your butthole.
Mm-hmm.
So you, you guys do it full naked. I can imagine you could just do it. You just drop shorts, right? Yeah,
you could just pull your shorts down past your like bottom butt line.
Right.
And keep a shirt on and stuff. But, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, do
might
it.
Might as well do it.
Well, there's also, you know, boxers will have that, like, slit, that slot for your, you know, your junk.
Mm-hmm.
Just put on boxers backwards, and it lines up perfectly. So when you grab your ankles, it spreads.
Right.
And the sun just goes right in, sort of like a, you know, like a lock and key.
How long do you have to do it? How long? What's optimum sunnage?
I mean, we've worked our way up. I did probably a 2-hour sesh this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how's it changed your life?
I'm just so fired up and stoked, and my T is just through the roof. I've been lifting more.
Really?
I know how to read now.
Whoa.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Because he came over one day, and we were, like, writing something, which normally he just dictates, and then I write because he didn't know how to spell or read.
Right.
And then he was like, let me go over there and take a look. And, like, sometimes we do that just as, like, you know, performative kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Where it just looks like he's looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just heard him go, the dude went to the pokey shop. He gets two balls. He just came out of him like fluid.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you're reading. And he was like, holy shit.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you attribute that to? And he was like, dude,
it's got to be
butthole sun for 2 hours this morning. And I was like, we got to get this to the masses.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
To get some sun on their asses.
Yeah, it took me 30 years to get to that point. And who knew that getting sun on your ass would be the...
Yeah, no one really knew. It's kind of a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you're... This is kind of what you do. You bring these kind of, like, rewards to the people.
Yeah.
I like when... Did you... Before you did the show, did you... Would you go to town council meetings and stuff and propose things just on your own?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a bunch, too, that we never released, but we're probably there, like, once a week.
What's the reaction when they see you walk in?
You know what's funny is at first they were a little annoyed because I think they felt like we were wasting their time.
Uh-huh.
But then after a while, if you go to those things, they're typically pretty like combative.
Right.
And we're amongst like the more gentle of right. the people who go up there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes they'll be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've done something really wrong.
Yeah.
And the entire city is like hammering them on it. And then we come up and talk about butthole sunning, and while it's probably not on their agenda, they're happy for a 3-minute break.
Yeah.
Do they ever take you seriously and actually, like, have you ever made like a demand? Like, no, this is, we're not kidding right now.
You know what they do take seriously? It's not necessarily what we're demanding, but it's our right to demand. Like, we've had times where council members have tried to quiet us or shut us down. And then other citizens or even other people on the council would be like, they have a right to speak. They get
nice.
Their 3 minutes. Let them speak. It's constitutionally protected. I remember one woman did that for us in Delaware when we were protecting people's right to party. And she's like, you have to let them speak. They have a right. And then after we came off, she said, well, you did have a right.
Yeah, because there's a guy, I think, in the first episode who's like, doesn't want to let you guys go.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so mad at him because he just embodied that teacher by the book.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. I was like, oh, they gotta shut that guy down.
Yeah.
You did a good job with him.
Yeah. We talked to him in the parking lot afterwards and we were mildly threatening and he got the picture.
Yeah.
What about the Catalina one when the guys are fighting?
Oh, that was in Huntington.
Oh, that was Huntington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was on Catalina. Wasn't that the Schmoll?
We went to Huntington to recruit Schmolls for our Schmoll initiative. On Catalina, and you know, you bring up NFTs around Schmolls, and things can get hectic. You know,
there's like a little competition to be the top expert.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And you know, you get dudes at a bar talking NFTs in Huntington, just crypto in general, And these are tough times in crypto too. So
yeah, people are on edge.
You just say Ethereum, and it's like a freaking mosh pit
in
there.
Blood in the water with the sharks. Yeah, they all come over swimming. It was also that's probably a low key day in Huntington Beach.
Yeah,
yeah. For like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, it typically goes off like that. For those of you who don't know, we were selling NFTs in Huntington Beach, and two dudes in a bar got into a fist fight over it.
Yeah,
and they said some of the most like colorful original phrases I've ever heard in conversation. Mm-hmm. Like the one dude, when he was calling him a bitch, he's like, my balls are bigger than your face.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, this isn't CNN. I'll fuck you up.
He used the word peasants.
Peasants. Yeah.
You peasant.
Were those guys legit, or do you ever use plants or anything?
No. Those guys were totally legit. Like literally we were just pitching our NFT idea to them, and they just started going after it. And it's one of those, it happens a lot actually with a lot of our stuff. It's like, we were like handing out masks in Huntington Beach. That's a separate video from the show, but, it just sets people off. And so, but we always sort of stand there as kind of like, bouncing, what's the term? Like when
you're kind of oblivious.
Yeah, we're just sort of observe. We're like fly on the wall, sort of like, I guess we started this.
Right. That's the funniest part of it.
Yeah.
Is that you start all this shit and you're just like, kind of like walk away.
Yeah. Then we just like, well, we have more NFTs to sell. And then those guys are just beating each other's asses.
We wanted to let them get the energy out, but we were like, guys, don't like actually hurt each other.
Right.
Thank you for all the excitement.
Yeah, but thanks for that footage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Doing a Four Hose beer bong, the Mount Chugmore. You can get it on Amazon for $25.99. We should do one time, actually. I think that'd go really well.
I'm going to admit something to you, and I hope it doesn't. I mean, we'll kind of like, we're getting to know each other, so we'll give the analysis at the end whether we can hang or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to like hide things from you.
Thank you.
I think I'm cool in some regards. In some regards, maybe you won't check that box off, but, I've never, I've been around them. I've, hosted them. I've never, done a beer bong in my life.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Let me just take that in for a second.
What do you think prevented you from trying it?
I didn't like the, I'm more of a cocktail guy, and I was even when I started drinking, like at 16. I like to kind of like sit there with the glass.
And so you're like, sophisticated.
I was a little sophisticated with my booze. Not to say I didn't get like hammered and drink a lot of bad beer, but like in school we would have like Meisterbrow or Busch cans, and even with those I would kind of like swirl it.
Dude, I'll admit I was taken aback when you said you've never done a beer bong before, but the fact that you're being so honest and vulnerable with this, I think actually makes me think you're even cooler. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I think we can find a way to bridge like where we're at with our drinking with yours. Mm-hmm. Like maybe we do like a beer bong and we do like...
We like beer bong in Manhattan or something.
That would be cool. Fashion.
Yeah.
Is that enough? Is that enough liquid?
We could throw in like 5.
Yeah, we'll be shithoused after that. Yeah. We'll be rolling.
I don't like also when things become a little too much of the gang, too much of a trend, like shotgunning beers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think social media kind of blew that. Like I like watching drunk people doing things and watching girls like shotgun them at the wrong end and blast their sisters in the face and stuff like that. It's all fun. But like when you see everybody doing it, I always tend to like not do it.
Yeah. No, I feel that for sure. I gotta say too though, but your overall vibe, you just come off like you have great taste. Like that shirt I really love, so I can see as a cocktail guy, and I think adding that to our crew,
right,
is I do think we need a little bit more someone who can sort of refine our, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Right, but not too much. And I was watching one of your clips, I think it was your podcast, you were talking about when you like, you kind of get excited to maybe push fashion a little bit further, but then like there's all those pitfalls of like trying too hard or putting too much stuff and that you always kind of like gravitate back to what you always do.
Yeah.
So, and I totally was feeling that.
Yeah.
Especially when I do stand up, like I always want to wear something a little bit that shows him on stage.
Right.
But you also don't want to be like, I don't want to be like the...
like Steve Martin or something like that.
Or like Steve Harvey.
Right. Yeah. Right? He puts on those power suits.
Right. He really does. Yeah, it's a lot of fabric.
Yellow suit.
A lot of extra fabric.
And they're always like really boxy on the shoulders.
They're really big. And he loves it and does it, and God bless him. But I can't all of a sudden like now turn into that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when you
hear you.
Yeah. Like you can't all of a sudden just be, you know, like on the Catalina thing, you guys all of a sudden start wearing bracelets and big glasses.
That was a dark time.
Yeah.
Because
we
didn't even realize we were changing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was no accountability because our buddy Kevin the Schmoll, who would have talked shit to us about those changes, was gone.
Right.
And then before you knew it, we were wearing like wraparound glasses and like weird top hats and talking about banging MILFs. And I was like, hey, something's wrong here, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I was dressing like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sick until someone showed me a mirror. And I was sort of starting to get all my senses back together. And I look in the mirror and I just like let out the longest, oh crap, you've ever heard.
Yeah. You realize, what have I done?
Yeah, dude, I was just thinking about you talking about that too. If I just start coming out on stage with like a fedora.
Right. Yeah. Dude. Like all of a sudden. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A fedora and a vest. What's up, dude? What's he doing?
What happened?
I might actually try and do that for a show and just see how
it
plays.
Yeah. So I wore a cowboy hat one time.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, just a bunch of necklaces.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, but it would only work if it was ironic, and then your fans were like kind of, you have to make these little, you have to go baby steps.
Right.
But then again, I did a special once with my pal Rob Zombie, and we made it look like the 70s, like show business. And I wore like this velvet jacket from Dave Hill, the comedian Dave Hill.
Yeah.
And I looked like 70s. And I just shot the whole special that way. Because we like, well, that's when show business was cool. And they're giving us money. Why wouldn't we spend it? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And dancing girls, the whole thing. And it doesn't look like anything I've ever done. It doesn't look like me at all, but people bring it up all the time because they remember it.
Like, it's unique.
Yeah, yeah.
Just threw a little bit.
Yeah. So how far can we go?
I think it'd be funny to come out with a Netflix special and be like, here's my Netflix special. Like, here's the trailer. It's me in a fedora. And people are like, what?
And shirtless. With a fedora.
Like, what?
That doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
There's also something when you look that stupid, you actually feel better when you try to sound smart.
Right.
It's like the contrast makes it inherently interesting.
Yeah, and like never mentioning it.
And
never bring it up.
No, just get straight into some like really granular political stuff while I'm shirtless with a fedora on.
That's
like,
so funny.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you see some people sometimes talk about passion and they're like, you just have to live life and why should I be ordinary? And this is an expression of me. And
yeah,
that seems good. And then like you walk in and your girlfriend sees you on your way to your show in like a fur boa. Be like, what is happening?
Yeah, all it takes is one person to call you out and then all your momentum's gone. I guess some people can just like power through that. But
yeah.
Even some, like when I switched to my boots,
right?
I remember I came over to your place and you were like, oh, boots. And I remember being like, I was like, oh, fuck.
That happened to me recently. Yeah. I went up at the Comedy Store. Yeah. I got these new suede boots.
Yeah.
And I just threw them on and I'm sitting backstage with Sebastian and a couple other people.
Yeah.
And Sebastian goes on before me. So he introduces me to go on stage and he just goes right to the audience without saying anything to me. This next guy really funny. Check out the boots he's wearing.
That's tough.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Dude, I remember my first year I moved to LA to do stand up and then I came to hang out with a bunch of my college friends. They all moved to like San Francisco to be in like tech.
Uh-huh.
And I came to like hang out with them and it was sort of like first year I was like, I'm gonna be a stand up, like I'm going out to be a comedian, and they're like, oh, okay, you know. And I'm wearing these big LA boots and I see this guy who I really like thought was cool and looked up to. He's like, nice boots, man. And I just fucking ran out of there.
Was it a compliment? That sounded like a compliment.
I mean, he's always been really nice to me, but it was one of those compliments where he's just sort of like, I think he's like a... No, I don't think it was a compliment.
No.
You don't want people to notice at all.
Yeah.
Or say something positive. But if they say something neutral, I take that as a...
Yeah.
Like, that's even worse than getting made fun of for it. It's like...
Yeah. Right. The funnier one is just boots.
Boots.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. Like, I fucked up. Yeah.
But your boots really are, they look good, though.
Oh, thank you, dude. I like it.
I do feel if you are gonna take a swing, only one swing, like just the boots, like boots and gold chains.
It's too much. Yeah, you'll see a friend come back from like a trip or something, and they have like four like additional articles of clothing that they're wearing now, and you're just like, dude, it's too much.
Right.
Like, you're doing too much. You got to chill.
Yeah. What are you up to? What's going on with you?
Yeah, and it almost makes me think the harder you try with your fashion, I kind of start to think you're boring because I'm like, what are you compensating for?
Right.
I kind of want to dress super normal and then be a really weird person because that will surprise them a bit more.
Right. But I think a little hint. One little piece that's like, they might not be all there.
Can't it just be the manic intensity in my eyes?
Yeah, it's doing it.
Cool.
Yeah, I think pants are a good way to go. I'm rocking these Seersucker.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, because I'm wearing
good.
My typical tee.
Right.
And then people see the pants and they're like, dude.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
And normally the pants are simple and the shirts where you go expression.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
This is my summer where I'm wearing shirts like, this is the most tame version of...
I really like that shirt.
It's a little like 50s dad, kind of like, excuse me, I'm trying to do like the uncle who like slips you money on the side. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, you know, here's 20 bucks.
You're all right?
Don't tell your mother. Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. Get him over here. I'm trying to be that guy this summer.
Yeah.
And it's working out pretty well.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to do too much. You just got to get shirts that look like this.
Yeah.
Looks good. What kind of pants are you wearing?
Just straight up pants. It doesn't go with jeans. That character doesn't go with jeans.
Right. You have great Vans. Look at those Vans. They have the checkers around there.
Yeah, the baby checkers. I don't like
That's
the big
awesome.
Checkers.
That's cool. Yeah, I it gives me Daniel Craig in 007 vibes, that shirt.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. He has that. His style in the James Bond movies is like, I think that's sort of the gold standard for dudes right now.
Yeah, but a lot of suits.
A lot of suits, but then when he's more casual wear, it's like it emphasizes his arms and stuff.
Right.
And he's like, he's just very sort of like, I'm in Italy with this lady, and you know, we're boning, and then driving in my Aston Martin. You know, it's like that's something
good.
To aim for.
I should have gone for that. I was looking at Rodney Dangerfield casual.
Oh, nice!
Another sexual icon.
Yeah, right, exactly. He wears a lot of, and you know what's kind of interesting? I just noticed because I watched Jackass Forever the other night.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Johnny.
Johnny. He dresses a little like Rodney. He has like the cardigan.
Oh,
he's got
yeah.
the cardigan with the, and he wears cons, but he's got a little Rodney to him, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Might be coming back.
Yeah, maybe it is coming back.
Do you like having Johnny on your corner? With the fashion, or do you feel like there's only room for one?
No, he's his own thing. I feel like he's... Here's the other part of fashion is that sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to look like that guy. Like when I put on a suit and do stand up in a suit, I'm like, I look like Cary Grant. And then people are like, oh, you look like you sell insurance. So I could dress like Knoxville and like think I'm doing it, but it's not going to be the same guy.
Yeah, it's the worst.
He's got such a cool, everything's like perfect.
Huh? Yeah, I saw that good looking actor from Match Point on the cover of like Esquire one time, and I went out to like Express and bought his exact same outfit. When I put it on, it looks so horrendous. I don't think I can wear a light sport coat. That was kind of the deal breaker for me. He's wearing like a white jacket, and it just did not play on my frame.
When I got one of my first headshots, I was living in New York, and Springsteen was having a moment, you know, like...
Which album?
I don't know. Maybe it was Born in the USA or whatever was after that.
He's my favorite musician of all time.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's amazing. And I was like, well, Bruce wears vests. I'm going to wear a vest for my headshot. But Bruce is Bruce. And Bruce wore like a leather vest that looked like he'd worn it for 50 years.
Yeah.
And mine was like felt.
All of his clothes look like that too.
Yeah.
It looks like he spent a couple days in them. He's great with that.
I remember I went to boarding school in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
And then coming from California, I was like obsessed with the East Coast because my brother was 12 years older than me, so he was in Wall Street and stuff. So I was like
I was sort of like, I was really into like that whole culture as like an eighth grader. And so in eighth grade, I was like, I got to start dressing like these Connecticut guys. So I got like Lacoste, you know, like pink Lacoste and like pop the collar and stuff. And I looked so absurd. I was all pastel. And you know, in California, everyone's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going Connecticut, dudes. And as soon as I got to Connecticut, I was like, I got to get back to California.
I know. We all start to look exactly alike. It's so weird. It's yeah. so tribal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I see it with my daughters, like, all of a sudden, they're just like, I think she's just dressing that way. And all of a sudden, she has a party and 20 of them walk in.
Mm.
And they all have like the exact same hair, the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
How old is she?
She's 17.
Oh, that's crazy.
My other one's 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she out of the house?
Yeah.
Is that weird when one leaves? And
mm-hmm.
with me and my brother was more shy than me. So when I moved out, my parents said his personality like really blossomed because
right.
I was so loud. And then
yeah.
with me gone and not taking up all their like supervision needs because I was always in trouble, they were like, it's crazy how much like we're seeing his personality and stuff.
Yeah, and yeah.
Did you have that at all? Or
we
no?
did have that. We did have that. I had to take her to on the side though and say, when people ask like, how is it having your sister gone? You can't say it's great. At least say I miss her, but I'm having a good time.
Yeah,
I'm adapting.
Song and dance a little bit.
She's just like, yeah, this is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all me. So what's your situation? You're both dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started dating my girlfriend and we met New Year's Day.
This year?
This year. And then she just moved. It's one of those, it's one of those instances where you sort of like meet each other and you're mm-hmm. like, whoa, like
right.
this is it. So it's been really fun and special.
Where on New Year's Day?
A Zed show, this DJ. Who's in the show?
Oh, yeah.
He's that DJ. So he had a show at Exchange in downtown LA. And I don't really go to shows that often.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of like JT hit me up about it. Like that night, I wasn't planning on going out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even really want to. I was like, I'm going to spend
New Year's Day.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay and watch a movie. Went out and then, yeah, so it was pretty... It's pretty sort of like a cosmic
wow.
thing. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. How do you like the scene? Because I'm not a part of it at all. With parties that are just straight DJ.
It's really fun because like, they play the hits. So they're not just playing their own songs. They're playing like the top 40s. So
right.
My only thing is that sometimes they'll get a little too quick with ending a song because they're trying to like show off their, yeah. I don't know, like whatever they curated. But... For the most part, it's fun. And with Zed, we're kind of friends with him. So,
that's
we're
really
buddies.
Cool.
And
yeah,
so he gives us like, I'll get to stand behind him
mm-hmm.
and I get to pretend like I'm DJing, which is a nice feeling.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like I was on a lot of mushrooms that night when Chad met his beloved and I was behind just like pretending like I was orchestrating the audience. And it was a good sensation.
It is
really
pretty
fun.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Can you see the talent? Like, does he do something that other people couldn't do? Like, if you were to stay at home with your laptop and put together an hour and a half of music.
I think that you can really see it in the artistry and the way he sort of, you know, connects the songs and the flow
mm-hmm.
and stuff. He really has a really strong sense of how to keep the audience sort of engaged and to make it flow and to,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of the ups and downs. So you're really kind of engaged the entire time. Whereas
right.
some people, I think... would just do kind of song to song to song. But I think he's so musically gifted and
right.
that he just has like a good sense of like how to really engage the audience.
I've been pessimistic about that stuff too. Like I've been to DJ shows and like they just hit play on like their iPod or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And but then like we had to speak at, he let us speak at one of his concerts and go up on stage and talk. And like, I didn't realize that he's like, being held accountable for how much the club is making in sales at like every given moment. So they were like, we can only give you a minute and a half. Cause in that minute and a half with the beat gone and the music not bumping, we're going to lose 15 grand, man.
What?
Okay. And so like every second is kind of accounted for in terms of like what it's doing to the audience and what that's doing to like
liquor
their habits
sales.
And like liquor sales and like
wow.
keeping them on the dance floor. So I think it is like a bit more complicated than I probably gave it credit for. I'm not sure if it's like at the level, you know, when people be like, oh, I could paint a Jackson Pollock. And then you're like, no. Like,
right.
There's
right.
a lot of detail in there you don't see.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's on that level, but it's more difficult than I think people give it credit for sure.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. amazing. I read a thing or heard a thing that I was like, why? It was at a certain moment. It's like, I don't know, 10 years ago, all of a sudden the volume of every place went up, like bars, you know. I was like, as comedians, you just want to be able to hear each other talk. That's like your best nights are like, we want to be able to make each other laugh. And all of a sudden everywhere we're going, it's like pumped up. Mm-hmm. And they said that the science behind it, like you're saying, is that the louder it is and the more difficult it is to hear each other, the more insecure you get and the more you drink.
Yes.
Oh, really?
The more breaks you need, and the one place to go is to the bar and get a drink.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I've always been pretty shy.
Yeah.
And so especially when it's loud, and I always had a quiet voice, so when it's loud, I'm just like, I just crank those White Claws. I'm like, get tossed.
And the volume kind of beats you into submission. Like, you're like, please stop. And it just keeps hitting you. And you're like, all right, fine. Whatever you need, I'll get drunk. I'll learn how to handle you.
Make the Timbaland stop.
Give me some relief.
Please quiet the noise.
Oh, God, Neo's coming on. I'm going to do one shots. Dude, I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
It does.
Like, well, no one can hear me, so screw it.
Yeah.
Keep drinking.
That's like the great lie of like bars and movies, is they're always well lit and the music's relatively low,
right,
so that everyone can talk and see each other. And I'm like, I've never been in a bar like that.
I know. And the ones that you are, you're like, how are they making money?
Yeah, everyone looks like a mutant in there. You're like, get me out of here.
But I love that. Like, even when I was in school, my buddies and I would always go to places that look like they should have been closed 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Like one old guy at the bar, someone eating pickled eggs, like an old jukebox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just love those hang so much more.
Yeah, the divey.
Yeah, the divey.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
I need the action.
You need the action?
I need the action.
You do? Oh,
for me, the juice is the action. Yeah, I need people bouncing off each other.
I think my favorite in terms of drinking is if it's a day drinking thing where you're with your buddies, sort of like a brunch ordeal.
Yeah.
Not the biggest fan of brunch, but just day, you know, you're out like the Venezuela or something, outdoors, and you're just cranking brews at like 1 p.m.
That is a good one.
That's
good,
nice. Yeah,
I know. I know it was just a scene from your show, but just seeing you two at like a wooden picnic table with Coronas, I was just like salivating.
Really?
Totally. There's just something about, I mean, seeing alcohol in anything on film is always like the hearing the glass with the ice. And, but just seeing those two Coronas is like, I have to do that.
Really?
I'm glad. Yeah. Dude, that's the best part about making something is like the accidental things that come through that where people are like, there's only one review of the show out right now, and it's Richard Roper, and he said the Corona was a subtle commentary on the obvious product placement of Corona in Fast and Furious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to take that away from our show, but we were definitely just drinking Coronas.
But there is that thing, like whenever a lot of times when you hear of like great moments and great stuff, like Steve Martin's book, like all of his memorable stuff were mistakes.
Exactly.
It was
right.
You're planning all this other stuff, and then these other things happen that just become like iconic. It's weird how that happens.
I think there's an Orson Welles quote where he says like the director is just a person who presides over the mistakes or something like that, or the accidents. And I'm like, that's our show for sure. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always think too, it's like when you try so hard to sort of have like a commentary or a message that you're trying to put forward.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it can feel too forced, but if you're sort of just doing something you like, that you think is fun, that you enjoy, your subconscious creates that kind of commentary and that message that the audience just picks up themselves.
You're subconscious when you're creating it?
Yeah, it's when you're creating it. I mean, I think you should have some direction in terms of what you're trying to say and stuff. But, you know, I think a lot of times, basically with the mistakes and stuff, it's like, especially with our stuff, people have taken their own... The way they interpret it is they draw their own sort of like commentary from it. And I think a lot of that has to do with just sort of, if you're enjoying the work and having fun, I think then it creates something that people can sort of, you know, interpret for themselves. Does that make sense?
No, totally. I was thinking about that just the other day, that there's, when people are spoon-fed something and you tell them this is exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's less powerful than if you give them less and they fill it in and paint it themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much you can dictate your subconscious, you know, flowing to them in a way.
Yeah.
But it's almost like less is more. Like if you can just not tell them every single line of this, or just give them, like, you know, you tell a joke sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a joke about, you know, I walked into the store and this alligator was, you know, walking down the aisle. Everyone who's hearing that is going to have a different interpretation of, they're going to paint it differently.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And if you get real specific and then tell them how they're supposed to feel about it and all the rest of it, it's not going to be as rich.
Those are my favorite kind of jokes, too, where you're not quite sure why they work, but they do work.
Yes.
Like, I'll listen back to a set, and it's a joke I've been doing for years, but I'll still listen to it, and I'm like, I have no idea why that connects, but there's just enough like things there that combine into a sort of salient idea that everyone's laughing.
So it's weird. I'll ask my wife that sometimes. I'm like, I don't know why that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? You don't know? I mean, it's because, no, that's not what I'm thinking when I'm saying it.
Yeah, it's better. It's better to be creating from that place, I think.
Yeah.
But then it's hard to plan for.
That's the thing. Yeah. What we're talking about is you're talking about mistakes, and we can kind of try and pin why those things are flowing from your subconscious, but you can't really be in control of it, or else you're going against what we're saying.
Yeah, if you have a crew of 40 people showing up and turning on their cameras and stuff, and then you're like, we're just gonna find it through our instincts.
Yeah.
Like, no, it doesn't work.
That's why those moments, like whenever they try and film comedians backstage, like they tried it like at the Comedy Cellar, like to capture the magic of the table where all the comics are hanging out, they never work.
Mm-hmm.
They just never work.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I used to love watching those shows. Like when I first started stand-up, Green Room with like Paul Prevenza was on TV.
Yeah.
Or like Tough Crowd, I guess, was like a good example. That felt like a little
bit. Yeah, that got close.
Mm-hmm.
That got close.
But you always hear people talk about the Comedy Cellar like table.
Yeah.
And you've been there. So like, does it feel different? Like, is it as special as people say it is?
Oh, it was. Yeah, for sure. I'm sure it is for a new generation. But when I was there, like in those, it was insane. It was just the smartest, funniest people you could find.
Yeah.
Just all there.
Would your anxiety be high when you were there? Like
in the beginning, until you're made, you know?
Right.
When it's like any kind of social thing, like when you first show up, you're just trying to be a part of it and not get destroyed. And then they destroy you. And then you come back. And then over time, you know, it's like hazing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's, But still, I mean, still, like back to the fashion thing, if I put on a weird shirt in New York and I know I'm going into the cellar, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous putting it on in my hotel or apartment, because you're like, oh, if Keith Robinson sees me or Colin Quinn, I'm dead.
You're done.
They're good.
That's funny.
Yeah.
do you when you're hanging around, especially when you're younger, when you're hanging around comedians, did you feel, especially like if you go to like that table, for example, do you feel like a need to sort of tell jokes and like be purposely funny, or what was your approach?
No, I mean, that was for my personal approach. It was, like you don't want to be invisible.
Yeah.
You know, but you also don't want to push.
Right.
But it's also, it kind of like sharpens all of that in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's nothing, the greatest moments are when somebody really takes a swing and puts a joke out there and it bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everybody's just like, oh. I love when like someone would interrupt and be like, no, wait a minute. Can we just sit in the silence of what Chad just said?
Let's just
take that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's actually a really good, just way to kind of know yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause some guys would get there, like Patrice would just sit there and hold court and just be loud and rip everybody apart.
Yeah.
And if I were to walk in and try and do that, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
So you just know yours is more like, you know, a little more laid back and quietly mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you kind of know your social speed in a way.
Right.
Like, man, Papa was tearing into everyone last night.
He was so loud. Yeah. He was just screaming.
He called me an asshole.
Why is he wearing those boots? So how long have you two been together creatively?
Like 7 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
Six or seven years.
It was fun because we reconnected in LA doing stand-up, and it was like, I don't know what like the prevailing comedy style was, but it was more alt, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then we were kind of the only two bros there, so it kind of made sense for us to link up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like very similar, but we have like...
Where was it when it was alt?
It was mostly like open mics, but it was all like on the east side, like Lyric Hyperion and Hyperion Tavern and
Hyperion Tavern, yeah. Ono Vino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, places like that. And it was really fun. I mean, it was you know, you'd be doing like 3 mics a night, and then you needed buddies to like sign you up or to hang out with. And
yeah.
Yeah, we just became friends. And like the moment we started working together, it was crazy because I had only known failure. Like everything, like everything I tried.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was okay with it. I kept trying, but like I would just bomb or I'd make a video and no one would watch it. Or like I'd try to get a show, it wouldn't happen. And then like the moment we linked up, like the first thing we tried to do was get a show at the Hollywood Improv. And yeah, the guy just immediately was like, yeah, this sounds great. And it's kind of been.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we've had struggles and things not go, and like, you know, we've had to learn, but
yeah,
for the most part it's been pretty much like green lights. It's yeah, been a
that's
good
great
ride.
Yeah.
It's like this chemistry we weren't even really aware of, that people, you know, if we're doing scenes too, or even if we're like we just aren't feeling it that day, and then people are like, man, the chemistry is just and we're like, I guess, like,
I've had days where we were both like actively in bad moods, and people are like, dude, you guys were killing it that day, the vibes were immaculate.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
Yeah I think when our sensibilities came together, it's just sort of like, I don't know, this it just, because I was starting to do, you know, these videos and stuff, and it's just like, it was like there's something there, mm-hmm. but it was missing something as well. And then when JT came in the picture, it just sort of completed everything. And then we sort of linked up and started doing them together. And then it just started to, you know, gain momentum. So
is there anything like in the beginning of a relationship when you're like, you start dating someone, you're like, oh, let's, you just kind of clock her behavior. Like, oh, she does that. She chews with her mouth open. That's cute. And then, you know, like, in 10 years, if we stay together, that's going to drive me crazy.
Hmm. One thing, like, he squids my fist bumps. He squids it like that. That's probably the only thing.
Yeah.
He's a, like, altogether lovely person.
Oh, thanks, man.
And then, like, the work relationship changed. Because, like, when I first started, I was, like, more behind the scenes. So I was more, like, concerned about, like, the writing and the directing and stuff. And then Chad really, like, grew leaps and bounds that way, too. And then I started being more on camera. So it's, like, it's interesting. Like, if one of us is tired, the other one has energy that day. If one of us is stressed out about the show, like with the show coming out, it was funny. You were anxious first, and I was chill about it. And then the day I got anxious about it, I called Chad. I was like, "Bro, I'm so anxious about the show coming out." He's like, "Bro, I'm relaxed."
Yesterday it switched again.
Oh, really?
He called me. We were on the phone. I was like, "Dude, I'm terrified." And he's like, "I feel great." I was like,
it really does feel like
it's cool though.
It's something moving around above us that I'm not quite aware of.
It's cool that you have that, that you do have someone you can actually call and say that, you know, because we're always so isolated. You're always like your stand up special or whatever. And you can't really say it. You can say it to people, but they won't know, but like that you're actually in it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. There's something comedians, like there's certain stuff that only comics you really understand. Like you try to talk to like your girlfriend or something, be like, yeah, I'm nervous about the show, or even like a stand-up show, be like, she'll like, it's like coming to a show, and I was like, yeah, I'm nervous for this one. She's like, why? And I'm like, there's too much to explain. Looking like a doofus in front of you? I don't know. Like, there's like a million reasons.
A million reasons. Maybe I ate something weird and I'm just, my stomach's weird right now. And it's affecting my mood. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's nice too, because we hang with other comedians, but we really don't hang as much as like a lot of our friends do. Like, they're like at the store every night, or like, you know, like going. It's mostly just us and then a couple other comedian buddies who are like, in our little universe. Are you a big hang guy? Like,
No, I was in New York because it was just so comfortable and it's right there, but I never got, the hangs out here were always more awkward.
It's weirder out here.
Yeah, like you sit at like the bar in the front of the Comedy Store. And
you're like totally exposed to like sunset.
Yeah, and it's just kind of weird. And also, you know, I have a family and there's a lot going on. So it's like I go do my set, see a couple of the people I want to see on my way out. And
yeah, I think we're trying to get on that train.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and pump out some kids and do that whole thing.
Yeah, it'll be exhausting.
Nice. I got lots of energy.
I like hanging, but I actually check myself sometimes and I'm like, just hang a little longer than you want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a little bit longer, because it's great being around comics. And then all of a sudden you just run into someone, and I ran into Neil Brennan in the parking lot the other night, and it was like, just talked for like 20 minutes, but it was just so great. Like, I carry that for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like only comedians can relate to the stuff we were talking about.
Totally.
Yeah, it's pretty valuable. The squidding the fist bump is hilarious because especially out in the world, when people are doing that, trying not to be germy.
The idea
that you would just grab their hand.
You know, I didn't even think about that. That makes it funny. we had that on set.
Hey, we're going to contact, but we're not going to spread germs.
Dude, I didn't think about that because we were on set. And it was like, you know, when Delta was a big thing.
Yeah.
And so I was squidting everyone. And now we were so, you know, just like, no one get COVID, no one get COVID.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, fuck.
I was just squidding everybody.
Yeah. Just touching it. Yeah.
That must have been, that was a hassle having to deal with all the COVID part of it. Are you going to, you think you'll shoot again? Or I guess you'll.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
That was tough shooting during COVID. Like, it made everything a little bit, you know, we had to be more careful. We had to prep people more before they were on camera and stuff like that. But we're hoping if we get a season two, which I think we will, but knock on wood, we'll shoot it in Florida where there are no rules and there's no such thing as COVID.
Yeah, that'd be really smart.
Balls to the wall on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You were saying you like Miami.
Yeah, Miami, yeah. I think it'd be cool to shoot there.
Yeah, before it goes underwater.
Yeah.
You're worried about the water thing.
I am worried about the water thing.
Because you brought it up.
I don't understand why people aren't freaking out about the water thing.
Yeah, well, we might do like a city council speech on it. We think they should boost, like, turn the LA River into a real LA River. But we don't mean it for water. We mean it more just so people can tube and stuff like that.
Right.
That probably
lazy
make
river.
The problem worse.
Just put lazy in front of it. People will be on board. Yeah.
Well, more people are tubing than AC use goes down. And that, you know, helps out the power grid. And then who knows what
tubing.
Else.
I do.
I feel like you'd be a tube guy.
No,
you seem like a total tuber,
bro. I tubed East Coast. it's gnarly. There's like these giant rocks. I broke a rib once going down like a waterfall, getting hit. Another time I tubed when there was no water and we had to like just walk it and drag our tube.
Oh, you just had some bad tubing experiences.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, it's totally fair that you would feel that.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any great tubing experiences.
I think the LA River would be a good tubing experience, except for the dirty water.
Yeah.
We haven't thought about that part, so.
Where do we get the water though?
From the Bellagio.
That would be cool.
They're just pumping it. They're not doing anything with it.
They don't really care.
Yeah, everyone's already seen that water show. Like, let's move it somewhere else where it's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a little freaked out by the water thing. I'm just watching these reports of these major Colorado River and these Lake Mead. And, I mean,
They're all going.
They're all, like, at the bottom.
And it's from, like, excess heat and stuff like that.
Excess heat and no rain. I mean, when they say it's the worst drought in 1,000 years.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, well, I think we got to get out of here.
Yeah. No, I think you're smarter than us.
I don't understand why people aren't just like, I don't know why there's not like a freeway filled with U-Hauls just heading east.
I mean, that's the like incredible thing about humans is like we can just like ignore the world being on fire like right outside our house. You know?
I know.
Like, it's a pretty... It's incredible how ignorant we can be to like what's right in front of us. I think it's also we just take in so much information that when I like in my dumb brain when I hear like water pump, I'm like, oh, it's just another fucking thing. And then
I'm
amongst like 9 other things that are like existential threats.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how to rank them.
Yeah, I know. And then I start doing the time of it. It's like, well, you know, when's it going to happen? Are we talking 60 years? Because then I'm pretty much not my problem.
Yeah.
It's like when they say, like, you know, this will cause, if you eat too many Cheez-Its, it'll cause cancer after 50 years of eating them. It's like, well, I don't know if I have 50 more years of eating Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like, because a lot of my friends are like, I don't know if I want to have kids because they're going to inherit this earth that is like doomed and it's going to be like apocalyptic. And I'm always like, well, you just make your kid believe that they can fix it. Like, just put like optimism into them. And
totally.
And maybe they could figure it out.
Totally.
Which is like kind of naive, but I also think like, what's your other option?
No, I believe that 100%. We don't quit.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, is there a chance that my daughters will have to deal with, you know, a worse drought and famine and stuff? There's a possibility for sure, but they also might be part of figuring out how to live more simply and being involved in a way that humans will prevail. We actually really put that into effect when we were planning on having a baby or making a baby, and we had just gotten married, and 9/11 happened.
Mm.
And it literally felt like, oh, the world is effed. Like, this is the beginning of the end. Like, there's going to be terrorist attacks every 5 minutes now. Mm. Like, this is, we really felt like an impending, like, it's hard to explain, like, it was before or after, right?
Yeah.
Like, that thing. And we were thinking about having a baby. And it was like, do we make a baby and bring it into this world that's, might be slipping into the apocalypse? And our philosophy was, we have to make more good guys.
Exactly. That's what I say.
We need more good guys. Of course we're going to make a baby. We're
going to put up our side.
Yeah. We're not going to even talk about this. Let's go. And
neither of your daughters have like joined Al Qaeda or anything like that.
Not that I know, but I don't think you would know.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean? You just think she's moody and just sitting in her room.
Right.
It makes you not go in there.
Yeah, you never know.
I feel like she'd bring it up once at dinner just to like rebel a little bit. Like, just so you know, I'm an Al Qaeda now.
Just and we'd
there's
be like,
nothing
oh,
you can tell me about it.
God. Then we're getting ready for bed at night. Did you hear that Al Qaeda shit she was in? Yeah. She's just trying to make you mad. She know how she does this.
Yeah. It's normal. It's a phase.
She'll outgrow it.
Yeah.
She's not going to stay radicalized. Come on.
Why is she going to Home Depot so much, buying all these products? I remember that. I was in like fifth grade, but I remember that because my brother lived in New York during
right,
that time.
On
so
Wall Street.
So I was like, I was convinced there was going to be a nuke, like every day. I was just sort of waiting by that. I was mm-hmm. terrified.
Yeah. You felt that? How old were you?
I was in fifth grade. So
fifth grade.
Was that?
10,
I was 11 during 9/11, and
so you did it.
That's part of that's actually the
my friend was nine.
That's a huge spoiler in the show.
All conjecture. Chad was not a part of that.
Yeah.
My friend was nine. I was 11.
I remember 9/11. And then 24. Do you ever watch 24?
Yeah.
The second season.
Uh huh.
He stops a nuke.
Right.
And so I just was like, my whole life was like, oh, dude. They're coming. During those 2 or 3 years, I was like, they're coming. They're on their way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a weird thing. With the Ukraine, and my daughter was just like absorbing the nuclear threat.
Mm.
And it's such a funny thing that you have to like teach them like, yeah, the whole place could technically be obliterated in an afternoon.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But don't think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's just keep going. But, it's just life and death, I guess. But it is a weird thing as being the parent. I remember being so arrogant when I was in fifth grade. There was something flared up with Iran. And something was going down and they were talking about nuclear stuff. And I remember telling my parents, if a bomb comes and we could like see Manhattan, we could see the skyline from our town, you know. And I was like, if a bomb comes, I'm going on the roof. And I'm just going to lay there and be like, I'll just take it. I don't want to be here when it's over. I'm like just walking out of the room with a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking of like my parents being like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, that cool devil may care attitude.
Yeah,
bring it on. Yeah.
I'll just take it right in the face.
Yeah, you sound like a cool 9-year-old. I want to hang out with you today.
Yeah. That's so stupid. So you think you'll have kids? It'll mess up your partying though.
You know, it never slowed my parents down.
It didn't?
My parents party like crazy.
Really?
Yeah, they were good parents. Like, you know, they were wild, but they were always present and stuff like that.
So what was it like when you were a teenager, when you were...
They let me throw huge parties. I'd get in trouble sometimes, but like we even did like a combo New Year's party that was like a wild one.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like 50 of their friends and like 50 of my friends.
And their attitude towards your drinking?
They were cool about it. Like they would always, they were like the cool parents where like you could come drink at our house, just don't like drive home afterwards and stuff. But yeah, they were always probably too mellow. Like I got arrested once for like getting into a fight and like, I don't even think they grounded me afterwards.
Oh, really?
They were like, don't be an idiot again. I was like, I'll do my best. Like, all right, yeah.
That's and, like, pretty cool.
And every time they got mad at me afterwards, they'd be like, but we know you're a good kid. I don't know why they thought, I guess just because they're my parents.
Yeah.
But they always had like a like undefeated like belief in my soul, which was very nice.
And it worked out.
I guess,
they
yeah.
were right.
Yeah.
Because I try and take that attitude with them. But I'm nervous about like somebody doing something stupid and getting, you know, God forbid a kid were to crash on their way home from your house.
Yeah.
It'd be emotionally horrible, economically horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that part of it. My daughter just hosted a party the other night and all her friends get security to like check people on the list.
Oh, that's smart.
Really?
Yeah. Cause they'll Snapchat it. Someone will, on Snapchat, they can see where everyone's hanging and then they just descend on wherever that is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That happened to me a couple times. Like my address would get posted online and I would have to like, I would just hide all the belongings and like just like party proof the house. And I was like, there's too much momentum. I can't stop it. Right. And so I would just let everybody come. And then at a certain point, I'd like call the cops on my own party and be like, get these guys out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause it'd be like 30 year olds when we were like 16. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah. I know. Cause the party wrapped up like at 11:30 and there's someone else in her group had a party the week before. And I know it went on like to like 1 or 2 in the morning and there was cops and kids throwing up. And it was like, oh, because they were, those parents let them drink. So the party was kick ass. So no one went home. Ours is like, yeah, that was nice. And 11:30.
Yeah, yeah, you need both.
Ah, I'm going to turn in.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So, let's review. Our hang status. I feel like you guys are you have a good optimistic spirit. I think we line up that way. I think you might party more than I do, but just it's probably an age thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably the same amount of days, but maybe you go harder on those days.
Sounds about right.
Right. What have you observed?
I think we're rock solid connection. So I think it's just finding the right venue.
Right.
Like we saw you at the golf course, but you weren't playing that day, right?
No, I was just doing the radio show from there.
Right, you were doing like commentary.
Yeah. Did you guys roll through?
We did, yeah.
You complimented my drive.
I did?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It meant a lot to me.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I think there's certain strengths that you have that you can bring to our squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your taste in cocktails
mm-hmm.
and sense of style and stuff. I think that could really sort of level us up.
Right.
I think right now we're sort of scrappy bros. Like,
right.
You know, sort of ragtag, like the crew in Armageddon,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think you could be that kind of William Fichtner.
Colonel Sharp,
right. But like a cool version,
right?
Where it's like you wouldn't turn on us at the 11th hour,
right? Yeah. Right.
But you bring a deep wisdom and knowledge.
I hope not.
You don't think?
Don't do it, dude.
What are you doing with a gun in space?
Give him one more second, man. I think you got to captain the ship and tell us what the hang is, and then we're adaptable. We'll play.
Right.
By whatever parameters you want us to be inside of.
There is a clock ticking if you're really thinking about having kids. Because that's, I don't know, you really understand what it's going to do to.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I try not to think about things like that too much.
No, you can't. You just got to go for it.
Yeah, people try to be like logical about stuff. I'm like, good luck with that, dude.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if it's the right time. Yeah. I don't know if we make enough money.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Just go.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
throw caution.
You want to do it, just do it. It's gonna, it'll work out.
Yeah, if you read a book about any president, they don't think about shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, I just fucking went and did it.
Yeah, yeah. Just go and do it. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have that thinking? Because you guys are kind of modern day philosophers. Whenever you see people on... especially now on social media, you'll see clips of like Jim Carrey talking or Sylvester Stallone or whatever. And they're like, you just got to think it and you make it happen.
Mm.
You know, Jim Carrey's, I saw
the manifesting.
Yeah, the manifesting. He has this crazy sense of, do you think that we all have that and do you use it?
I'm way into that stuff.
Yeah.
I do think it's, you know, I think if you have a positive sort of self-image of like, yourself and what you can achieve in the future, I think that does sort of help you to reach that place to sort of, cause I think a lot of it too is, sort of understanding or feeling like you can reach your full potential and sort of build yourself up to a person who can achieve those things. And also I have crystals and all that. I have like a vision board and stuff and
nice.
What's
on the board this year? Do you do it yearly?
Yeah, I do it yearly. I have a golden retriever on there. I have Newport Beach. I had donuts on there, which is crazy.
You did?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Donuts from Dad's.
I'm a bit more skeptical about all that stuff, but then his vision board, when I first saw it, he ended up knocking out like 12 of the 15 things on there.
Really?
Like in a pretty tight stretch of time.
Really?
And then I was like, all right, maybe there's, you know, so for me, I'm like, if you are a more skeptical person, that's fine, but you should still be in line with optimist people who believe in like manifesting.
Especially
like
if they're your partner.
Yeah. You can always look and be like, no, that's not real. But yeah, keep doing it, please.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe in it too. I definitely believe in positive thinking and moving to your goals or just being a better person. I always have the doubt creeps in a little bit on the specificity of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Because
there's been like, I'd had like a TV show or something. And,
yeah.
And then like we shoot the pilot and whatever. And it's like, I'm putting all I got into it. I'm thinking, I'm manifesting this wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And then it craps out at the end.
Right.
And it's like, did I do something wrong? How did I?
That's brutal.
Right.
I think it's sort of like you gotta like, from what I understand with all that stuff, it's like you gotta like have the idea of what you want, but maybe not too specific, so you're like really focusing on it.
Yeah.
But sort of like create that idea and sort of like put it in your mind, but also forget it, if that makes sense. So you're not, I think when you're so sort of like, you know, just white knuckling it, where you're like, I gotta get.
Yeah, that's one thing.
You know, I got to keep thinking positively about that. I think that's counterproductive. So.
Right,
and
exactly.
Painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anything, like whether it's professional or relationship or anything, if you're like gripping it too tight, you're not really enjoying any of it.
Yeah.
You're kind of just scared.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah,
and you don't even think that, you think you're doing something positive, but you're probably destroying it.
Yeah, you're kind of cannibalizing you in it.
Yeah. What's your use of weed? Philosophy on weed. You said drop mushrooms before.
I smoke weed. I go like, and I probably smoked, I didn't last week because if I do it too many days in a row, I get into a bad mood.
Makes you moody, right?
Yeah. And then I did it like 3 days in a row last week, but that was after like a week of not doing it. So I don't know. I do tend to like do things in like sprints.
Mm-hmm.
And because like, well is not well enough for me. I got to do like a little too much. And then, but I'm pretty self-aware and I'll be like, okay, I'm feeling a little like shaky and I'm not like excited to do. I can kind of tell if I've done it too much if I'm not excited to do things.
Right.
Like I'll have a podcast or a stand-up set and I'm like, I fucking hate those things. And I'm like, you've probably been drinking and smoking too much weed, dude.
Yeah, you're cranky.
Yeah, exactly. It might just be cranky, bro.
Right.
But I do think like weed and shrooms like can help me with creativity, but I don't ever want to be dependent on them because then it's like, it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I don't really smoke that much. It gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
So I like to watch people do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to see JT rip a fat bong load.
Right.
You know, and just hit a dab or something. I'll be like, is that sativa? You know, I'll try to name strains and stuff. Be
right.
Like, oh, dude, that's Purple Cloud, huh? You know, and it's, so that's how that's my philosophy.
Right.
Just to watch people and cheer them on.
Yeah.
What about you?
I used to do it a lot, and then I wasn't as funny on it. I found that I wasn't as funny. I wasn't as sharp. Even when I wasn't doing it, it was just things were a little fuzzier. I was just lost a beat, and was lazy. Like you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah, just crabby.
Yeah, and I was like, this isn't. It's not as joyful as it was when I was first doing it, like with my friends and stuff. So if I'm not getting that joy that out of it, then why? And it's bothering my work. Why should I do it? Mm. But now that everything's legal and opened up, I buy it from time to time, and I always want to. It's kind of like my philosophy with video games. It's like I see people playing video games and they look like they're having so much fun. I'm like, I want to do that. And then I play, and I'm like, I don't know this time.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's like video games, comic books. Like, they all look like great. People are really enjoying them. Why aren't I?
Yeah.
Same with weed. It's like, it may have passed.
Makes sense.
But I would burn one for sure when we hang.
Oh, down. Yeah, super down for that.
You guys are great. On. Congratulations on the show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
I don't know. I'll leave it to you on how you're going to take the donuts home. It's only one box. We could probably get you a bag or something.
Bring them to my family.
Yeah.
His brothers are in town.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, the other one is flight got canceled. He's really bummed. It's such a bummer. Yeah.
Where was he?
He's in New York.
And his flight got canceled?
He's in New York, yeah.
Oh, they got weather there?
No, you know, the airlines are just
that random?
Well, yeah, and lately, I don't know if you noticed, but like, I think they're understaffed from COVID.
100%.
And so they like were just delaying it. You know, they're like the plane was late and then the plane was there and they just kept holding them and then the crew timed out.
Yeah, that's what's happened.
Yeah, and you're like, it's crazy.
I know. And then you land someplace, finally you get there, and then there's no crew to unload the bags.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I'm sort of like they, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole
I'm more worried about my kids inhabiting that world than the water one.
The slightly inconvenient world?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, flight travel sucks right now, dude. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
You might not get to exist.
Yeah. Amazon's going to deliver in 2 days? What the F?
Yeah.
Sorry, kids.
No way.
2 days.
Well, it was really great hanging with you guys. This has been our whole day.
It's so nice. Yeah,
I know. We got to do the Netflix show this morning. We got to do this. And I think we've done enough. It's time to get out of here.
Hell yeah. Thank you, man.
Appreciate having us.
We got it, Aaron. All right, everybody. That's the big show. I told you you were going to enjoy it. So funny. We'll have them on again. We'll definitely do more things. Maybe I'll head over to their podcast. I don't know. I got to bake them bread. I have to make good on that promise. The donuts are good, but, you know, it's not as heartfelt as a loaf of bread. So more to come. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.